the Redskins. Hail victory! Praise on the warpath. Fight for all we see.
Green driven back to midfield on the far side. He's got the ball up to the 45, far side 40. A seam to the 35. Waltz a man to the 30. Breaks it to the near side 25. Watch out to the 20. Near side 10. He's gone. Touchdown, Washington Redskins.
This is Burgundy and Gold Flashback. Now, here's Mike Richmond.
You are listening to Burgundy and Gold Flashback, where the tradition of a storied NFL franchise, the Washington Redskins, stays alive. I'm Mike Richmond, author of the Redskins Encyclopedia and the Washington Redskins Football Vault. My website is redskinshistorian.com. That's redskinshistorian.com. My guest is one of the most prolific running backs to ever wear the burgundy and gold. Not the fastest or biggest at his position, but he showed so much heart and grit. Rushed for 5,875 yards in 8 seasons in D.C., now third most in team history. Redskins fans have argued for years that he should be in the Hall of Fame. Larry Brown, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for the invitation.
My pleasure. Great to have you, and you've been on my TV show in the past, Burgundy and Gold Magazine, and I've really appreciated that, and thanks for all your help with my books, The Redskins Encyclopedia and The Redskins Vault. How are you doing these days?
I'm doing fine. What about you?
I'm doing well. Well, you know, we all could be better given this disastrous Redskins season that's taking place right now. It's just sheer misery that's going on here. I mean, how do you feel about things going on?
Well, I think the product on the field is by far the worst I've seen in many years.
And can you tell me why? Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I can only say that the team, for some reason, the players are making the same mistakes every week. And, I'm assuming that, you know, when they review the films and see the mistakes, that they correct them. And if that's the case, then why aren't the mistakes being corrected on the field?
Are you referring to things like just mental errors, delay of game, and the costly penalties, blocks in the back on special teams plays, things like that should be elementary for the players to understand, but they just keep committing the same mistakes game after game?
Yeah, but those are mistakes that should be, like I said, should be corrected. But the bigger mistakes are the ones that blown coverages in the secondary. You have backs running pass routes when they should probably help block or chip block before checking down into a pass route. You know, and it's simple things like that. The blocking, the offensive line blocking. It seemed like they're you can make some corrections to get them to be able to do a better job. And I just don't understand why there's no improvement from game to game.
Mm-hmm. Well, before I ask you who this falls on, let me just paint a picture of how bleak things are right now. The Redskins are 3-11 after their most recent game, a 24-13 loss to the Giants. That was their sixth straight loss. And with upcoming games against the Eagles and Cowboys, both of which are fighting for playoff spots, we're eyeing another 3-13 season this year. The would be the second straight for the Redskins, and their fifth last place finish in the NFC East in the past 6 years. And also, they've had only 3 wins in the last 22 games. So who does this fall on at this point?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I would think that some of it's coaching. Some of it could be the system that exists within the organization. It's kind of hard to put your hands on it, but coaching, I think, is a part of it too, because it's not only knowing the X and O's. It's motivating these players every week and coaching them up. You know, I don't see any player development. You know, I don't see any improvement in certain players' performance on a game-to-game basis.
Well, let's take those one at a time, the coaching and the system. In terms of the coaching with Jay Gruden being in his first season as an NFL head coach and, of course, first season with the Redskins, do you think he needs more time, though, to learn how to be a head coach in the NFL?
Well, I mean, that probably should have gone into the thought process prior to bringing him on board. You know, is this something that we want to do? Is this something, you know, you first have to determine whether that's something that that's the approach you want to take. So I guess that's my best answer for that question.
Well, do you think it's a situation where he just inherited a terrible mess after last season, 3-13, and 8 straight losses at the second half of last season? Was this just too much for him to handle?
Well, I think there's some problems within the organization. I think it doesn't fall on one person's shoulder. I think that there are probably some issues that are behind the scene issues that people are working on, and it's a problem or problems that they can't resolve in one season.
What do you think about the situation regarding Robert Griffin III? First, what was your feeling when you heard about the trade that the Redskins made to position themselves to draft him? And what do you think of his status right now in terms of the Redskins holding on to him, or should they try to trade him in the offseason?
Well, I think that was probably, I can't put a place of value on his talent and what he's worth to the organization. So, you know, the trade, someone thought that was, you know, a decent a trade. So I can't elaborate on that. But obviously, when he's a gifted athlete, I think if it were me, I would have done some things a little differently when he arrived. But maybe people have tried to talk to him and to make sure he's on the right page. You know, I think so many things happened so fast that rookie year that things got out of control. And, you know, this is a different environment. You know, back when I was playing, it wasn't mandatory that you do interviews or have press conferences. And now, you know, if you don't honor the if you don't conduct be a part of a press conference, you get fined $50,000 or something like that. But sometimes, you know, just based on my own personal experiences, I just know that Sonny and Billy conducted themselves a little differently than RG3 at some of these conferences, but maybe it's because he's young.
Do you see him and Gruden both being part of the franchise next season?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I will say this. Yesterday he seemed to be more comfortable in the pocket than prior to him being benched. I don't know that, you know, sometimes when you bench a superstar, you know, it brings about enormous changes in their attitude and their approach to learning a system. And in many cases, it's very favorable. So maybe that's one of the things, the pluses that came out of this recent benching of RG3.
I agree that he looked a little more composed in the pocket against the Giants. He was 18 of 27, 236 yards, and one touchdown. Let me ask you, as a proud Redskins alumnus, third leading rusher in team history, and I mean, you wear the burgundy and gold on your sleeves. I mean, how does this make you feel, this whole situation where year after year of mediocrity and even worse?
Well, every year you look forward to getting better, and every year we as fans are disappointed. And I would imagine at some point in time it could affect the revenue stream to the organization. And let's hope it never gets to that point, but people are very disappointed.
Well, I agree.
I can understand it. You know, I've never been part of an organization or any kind of organized sport where we were booed, you know? And that's hard. I mean, something like that you take personally.
Well, yeah, the players have expressed a lot of disappointment with that, being booed by the home fans and the fans wearing right. bags over their heads. So it's just a very, very frustrating situation with what's going on. And I follow this team closely for more than four decades, and I've never seen it so bad here for such an extended period. Well, we need to go to break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about your celebrated career. Here's This Week in Redskins History.
Hey, it's Mike Richmond, the official Redskins historian and author of the Washington Redskins Football Vault and the Redskins Encyclopedia. From the pages of my books comes This Week in Redskins History. Much was at stake for the Redskins and kicker Mark Mosley at RFK Stadium on December 19, 1982. A Redskin win meant playoffs for the first time since 1976, while Mosley needed three field goals to break the NFL record of 20 straight. He set up to kick his third with the Redskins trailing 14-12, 9 seconds left, the ball on the Giants 25, and snow falling. After the straight ahead, Mosley met the ball hard, an opponent got a hand on it, but it stayed true and split the uprights, making for one of the most magical moments in Redskins lore. A little more than a month later, the Skins beat Miami in Super Bowl 17. For more on Redskins history, check out my website at RedskinsHistorian.com. That's RedskinsHistorian.com. I'm Mike Richmond for This Week in Redskins History.
Welcome back to Burgundy and Gold Flashback. I'm Redskins historian Mike Richmond, back with legendary Redskins running back Larry Brown, one of the all-time rushers in team history. Larry, thanks again for coming on the show.
Glad to be here.
Great to have you. You played for two of the greatest coaches in NFL history, first Vince Lombardi and then George Allen. And first, I wanted to ask you about Lombardi. In 1969, you were an eighth-round pick out of Kansas State, and you were you weren't a starter at Kansas State, is that correct?
Yes, and...
But he did name you the starting halfback in training camp of 1969. He loved your explosiveness off the ball, and gosh, you beat out Ray McDonald, who was the Redskins' number one pick in 1967, and that season, 69, which the Redskins finished 7-5-2 that year, team's first winning season since 1955, you had 888 rushing yards and one of the highest totals in the NFL, and you were runner-up for NFL Rookie of the Year. What did you think of having the opportunity to play for Lombardi, who had come out of retirement, to coach the Redskins that season after winning five championships in Green Bay?
Obviously, I thought a great deal of Lombardi because he had left a very good impression on me. And I think we had some little disputes at times, he liked my running style and my effort, and hopefully, I guess, look, retrospectively, that's what got me the job. Mm-hmm.
He also saw that you were a little slow getting off the ball, and I want you to share that story about how he had you examined when I guess he learned that he thought maybe you were deaf in one ear.
You know, he had once after one practice, he asked me why I was late getting off on the late moving on the snap count. And I told him that I was having problems recognizing the various defenses. Apparently, that explanation didn't sit well with him, so he ordered, he got some hearing aid specialists to come and give me an examination. And that's when it was made public that I was totally deaf in one ear. But after the examination, he asked me to go to one side of the room, and he went to the other side, and he said, "Larry, can you hear me?" And I said, "Coach, I've never had any problems hearing you."
Well, he obviously saw your tremendous potential, and it must have been devastating to Redskins like you when he passed away right before the 1970 season. I'm wondering if you could share your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, it was devastating. We were looking forward to, like you said earlier, that was our first winning season in a long time, and we were looking forward to improving on that record. And you know, next thing we knew, he passed. And so that was devastating, as you said. And so we took a step back, I think, that year, because we had an interim coach. I think it was Bill Austin. And so we really didn't do very well. I don't recall doing very well that year.
Well, you guys, it was a 6-8 record, just a little under 500. But for you, I mean, that was a banner season. You led the NFL in rushing with 1,125 yards, and you were the first Redskin to gain at least 1,000 yards.
Yeah, and I'm very happy to have made that contribution to the team. And although that was my primary focus, I've never really focused on individual accomplishment. My focus was on winning games. And so I think that just happened on the way to the forum.
Well, Austin was there only in the 1970 season, and then the Redskins hired George Allen in January of 1971, and you would end up playing for Allen for 6 seasons, and during that time, the Redskins went to the playoffs 5 times, and there was that appearance in Super Bowl 7, so that was a glory period, not as great as the Joe Gibbs era, but it was still a glory period in Redskins history. But in terms of your numbers, in 1972, that the Redskins, year the Redskins went to Super Bowl 7 and lost to the Dolphins, you had 1,216 yards, you were named NFL MVP, but your numbers started to dip after that year. It seemed that, you know, Allen used you so much in running the ball. He had these run-oriented vanilla offenses, and you were undersized, 5'11". You played, from what I understand, what about 190?
Yeah, 195.
So, and your body just gave way. You had an assortment of injuries, and then you retired after the 1976 season, gained 56 yards that year. Do you regret in any way the way Allen used you in his offenses?
Well, you know, we both benefited from the way he used me on the offense because, you know, if the career span for running back is about 3.5 years. So, you know, based on the average career span of 3.5 years, either way, you know, I had about 3 years to make my mark. And leave a hopefully indelible impression or mark. And that's exactly what happened. Allen was very superstitious. He didn't like to make a lot of changes. And therefore, that meant that, there was no substitution. And players that he had a great deal of confidence in were the people that were on the field. And just fortunately, I was in the right place, right time. And I guess my willingness to take on that responsibility was pretty good at that time.
Well,
it was the right decision on my part.
And Redskins fans obviously welcomed it as well. And just want to ask you about your signature running style. You were just so tough and so difficult for defenders to bring down. And let me just share this quote with you from Steve Sable, the late president of NFL Films. He's talking about you, quote, "He's maybe the most underrated running back in NFL history. He literally left pieces of himself all over the field in every game he played. Talk about a reckless disregard for the consequences. A section of our Redskins highlights in 1972 was of him finishing his runs. He would get hit and spun and pinwheeled and helicoptered. He was only about 190 pounds and not very fast, but every step meant something for him." Where did that gutsiness stem from?
I don't know. You know, I grew up in a pretty bad neighborhood, so I told people in the past I used to run home like that every night.
Did you have a mentor?
No, I didn't. I guess I got that style from watching Jim Brown run in the early 60s. Hmm. You know, he was the type of guy that never went out of bounds. And he was tough to bring down. And I felt that my running style would create a situation where the opponent would have to think about whether he wanted to tackle me or not. And if he thought about it, then that was to my advantage.
Mm-hmm. You grew up near the steel mills in Pittsburgh, right?
Yes.
And so obviously seems that had a lot to do with your toughness. I mentioned earlier that many Redskins fans think you should be in the Hall of Fame, and let me just present this scenario to you in terms of comparing your numbers to two of your contemporaries who are in the Hall of Fame, Floyd Little and Leroy Kelly. In terms of rushing and receiving yards, their all-time numbers are very comparable to yours. You had 8,360 combined yards rushing and receiving. For Little, it was 8,741, and Leroy Kelly, 9,555. Where they top you in numbers is in return yards. They both have in the neighborhood of 3,000. But
Right. But
do you think that should be enough to have swayed voters to induct them into the Hall of Fame? Don't you think you should be there as well?
Oh, yes, I do. You know, I thought basically the criteria was, it was based on your contribution to the game. And, all I hear is that I didn't play long enough, and that doesn't have anything to do with my contribution to the game. I think the process is one where it's based on popularity contests. So there's nothing I can do about it. I have no control over it. So I just let it be as it may, you know.
I mean, you gained more than 5,000 yards in your first five seasons. If that's not a great enough achievement to getting somebody inducted into the Hall, I don't know what is. I mean, that's an average of more than 1,000 yards each season.
And I think at that time, if I remember correctly, only two other people had done that, and that was Jim Brown and O.J. Simpson, I believe. But, you know, they don't factor in the fact that we played, I guess back then we played 14 games, but anyway, it was less than the games that they play today, but more than the games that were played when Jim Brown was on the field.
Right. Well, hopefully you will be inducted through the seniors committee at some point. So I'm pulling for you.
I hope I'm still alive.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. This has been a lot of fun, and I hope we cross paths at upcoming Redskins alumni events. And by the way, I didn't congratulate you on you did have a recent induction. You were inducted into the Hall of the Very Good from the Pro Football Researchers Association, of which I'm a member. So,
well, I think that's you. I think that's a good step in the right direction. That's
it is.
Good.
It is. And I did vote for you, so congratulations.
Thank you.
On that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're a big supporter, and I appreciate that.
No problem. And many thanks to my audience for listening to Burgundy and Gold Flashback, and thanks to my producer, Mike Engel, for his work running the board. By the way, copies of my book, The Redskins Encyclopedia, are available by going to my website, redskinshistorian.com. I'll sign them, and they make for great holiday gifts. I'm Mike Richman. Please join me again next week. For now, hail to the Redskins.